I really want to thank you for the worship this morning, and especially the song that prepared our hearts after the prayer. That was a beautiful song, good message, and Deb, it's good to see you. Everything going okay? Okay, good. And we do have some special guests with us today. Big Lair and Karen, they're sharing with us today in our worship service. Good to have you this morning. So, the title of the sermon is The Unraveling of a Nation. And I want to share this message not because of, because we're entering into a new year. And it's always a idea that we have a new start, a new chance. But everything that happens in this new year will ultimately come on the foundation that we have probably from this year. So if we've had a bad year spiritually, I want to encourage you to maybe look up a little more and to look to God a little more and allow God to truly reign in our lives. And there are four things, and they're found in the book of Jeremiah. And as I was reading through that, I recognized a lot of me personally in this, some needs that I have, some things that I need to do. And this comes from a foundation now where Jeremiah is being spoken to by God Almighty. And he's being spoken to about his chosen people who had forsaken him. And it begins in verse 1 of chapter 2 of the book of Jeremiah. And it begins like this. The word of the Lord came to me, go and proclaim in the hearing of Jerusalem. This is what the Lord says. I remember the devotion of your youth, how as a bride you loved me and followed me through the wilderness. Through a land not sown, Israel was holy to the Lord, the first fruits of harvest. All who devoured her were held guilty, and disaster overtook them. Those are direct promises to Abraham as he was called. Hear the word of the Lord, you descendants of Jacob, and all you clans of Israel. This is what the Lord says. What fault did your ancestors find in me, that they strayed so far from me? They followed worthless idols and became worthless themselves. They did not ask, where is the Lord who brought us up out of Egypt and led us through the barren wilderness, through a land of deserts and ravines, a land of drought and utter darkness, a land where no one travels and no one lives. I brought you to a fertile land to eat its fruit and rich produce. But you came and defiled my land and made my inheritance detestable. The priest did not ask, where's the Lord? Those who deal with the law did not know me. The leaders rebelled against me, and the prophets prophesied by Baal, following worthless idols. Therefore, I bring charges against you again, declares the Lord, and I will bring charges against your children's children. I want to stop right there because it contains everything that I want to share this morning. In the story and the history of the wilderness wanderings, the 40 years that the Israelites spent in the desert, in the wilderness, because of their disobedience and their unwillingness to obey God, they found themselves in a 40-year predicament. But yet God did not forsake them in this journey. And I believe that each one of our lives is a microcosm of the wilderness journey. In fact, everything that we encounter in our lives symbolically was encountered in the wilderness journey. Now, the first thing that the Israelites did as they were established in the kingdom now that God had provided, they have crossed over, they had seized the land, and they were in a land flowing with milk and honey. There was nothing lacking there. Nothing that they needed was not there. Everything they needed was provided. God was their God. And they called on the God. But now Israel is in trouble. because they have forsaken God. And there are four steps that we see that can be documented, that can be clearly seen, and even is true in this very day in which we live, and may even apply to the United States of America. The first thing that a nation does that is going to unravel or come to demise is that they quit seeking God. They quit seeking God. And so the question that begs to be asked, does our nation seek God? Does our leadership seek God? No. Well, I can't read the mind and the heart of anybody, because your words can say anything. Words, you know, words can say anything. Appearances can be misleading, but actions never lie. Actions never lie. So when our religious leaders quit seeking the Lord, we're in trouble. Now, how do we recognize when religious leaders quit seeking the Lord? Well, I'm not sure how that's possible unless you know what God's word says. Whether you see the fruits of an individual who may be a spiritual leader of some kind, does our spiritual leadership reflect the quality, the character, and the purpose of God? And the number one thing that we can recognize or should recognize in a godly leadership is that it is selfless. Ungodly leadership is self-serving. I want what I want, and I now have the power to accomplish what it is. In the dilemmas of life in a complex world where relationships are very complicated, when's the last time we saw our Congress, our government, our church get down on their knees and seek the direction of Almighty God, who knows the answers to all of our questions, who has the remedy for all of our needs? Why is it that we quit seeking the one who answered us with favor? And his solutions were always beneficial to us. They were always good and for our good. Does that mean that every answer from God that is good felt good in the moment? No. Because sometimes we need to change our direction a little bit. Sometimes we need to be disciplined a little bit. But if we are truly seeking the Lord, if we are seeking His face in our life, then we are willing to humble ourselves and to listen to the voice of God. Now, the next thing is it easy to accomplish what we hear from the voice of God? And I'm going to suggest that it's more than difficult, because each time that we hear the voice of God, it becomes a test of our faith. It becomes a test of who we are, where we are, and what we are about. Jesus and those 12 guys that he chose were not the most popular people in the world. Even though the scriptures say he grew in wisdom and stature and in the favor of God and men. But not all men liked him, did they? If they'd have liked him, they wouldn't have put him on a cross. So I'm going to suggest this morning that as we listen to the voice of God, it may not be the most popular voice out there. It might not gratify our personal needs like we feel like we need to be gratified. But if we are listening to the voice of God, if we are seeking His leadership, He will lead us in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. I think that was written in a psalm somewhere, Psalm 23. When religious leaders quit seeking the direction from God, we're on a trajectory, we're on a path that will unravel a nation, because there is no man wise enough to navigate all the intricate ins and outs of the world as we try, put that in quotes, as we try to get along together. The second thing that begins to unravel the nation is that we have a set of laws, and the keepers of the law do not administer that law justly. Does it seem today that there is a two-tier standard for justice? Has that ever been a concept that God had given to man? Never was. You know, when two kids do the same thing and one gets away with it and the other gets punished for it, is that fair? And is it more important who the person is, or is it more important that there is a law? And if the person is more important, then why have the law? Because the law is there for common good. God gave every one of his commands, not so we would have something to work on, or not something that we would have to submit to, but he gave his law as a way to navigate life and to navigate it abundantly so that we can live a joyous and fruitful life filled with peace and all those things that truly each and every one of us want. But when that law is corrupted by those who have agendas, those who are trying to gain for themselves certain things, whatever that might be, and they administer the law unjustly, show favoritism, and I believe the book of James talks about favoritism and where it leads you. But when our government, when people administer the common good, the common law, differently to different people, we began to unravel, because pretty soon, who recognizes who deserves to get off and who deserves to be punished? The law is there so that we can get along as a society. These are common rules that we all abide by so that we can have a common, peaceful coexistence. When we disrupt that, we find that we are in turmoil. We find that our world is falling apart because it's unjust. I believe that one of the great definitions or characteristics of God is that he is completely holy and righteously just. He doesn't care what your name is. He doesn't care what your position is. He cares about your soul. And every human soul has the same need. And if he withholds justice or administers justice differently for some, then we might not all arrive at the same place where God wants us to be. The third thing that causes the demise of a nation is that its leaders reject God's authority, his presence, and even his existence. Have you ever stopped to consider why it is so expensive to live in our world today? Well, I want to just throw out the thought, maybe that because we've been lied to. We've been told that things are happening that are not happening. We have been told to be afraid of certain things that we need not to be afraid of. We have looked at the size and the earthly power of entities and think that we should obey them because they are powerful when they are not. You know, I remember a story that I loved in Sunday school. I shared it in a sermon here about this little bitty guy. He wasn't very big. And then there was this great big bully. His name was Goliath. And you know, we all know the story about this little guy just whipping the snot out of this big guy. He just took him to town. In fact, as he killed him, cut off his head. That wasn't very nice, that little guy, was it? But you know what he told that big guy before they went to fighting? He said, "The battle's the Lord's. I don't have to worry about how big you are. I don't have to worry about how big your army is and all that shiny armor up there on that hill, all the spears and all the swords. I don't have to worry about that. Because you know what? this little rock that God created and put in this place, in this brook, at this time that I picked up, is the one that God chose to take you down because you're arrogant and you do not believe that he is the God on this battlefield today. This morning, God is the God of our world. He is the God of our lives. He is the sustainer of our life. He is the sustainer of our world. And because leaders reject the authority and the power and the creative design of God himself and actually deny the existence, which is plain for all people to see that he's really there, the nation falls into disorder. And it begins to unravel. And we have three things now that can destroy anything. We have leaders who quit seeking the Lord in his own universe. Keepers of the law who do not administer the law of the Lord equally. And leaders who reject and even deny the existence of God. Now, how rational is that? But don't we see that the prevalent picture of government throughout the world? That they deny God? That there's never going to be an accounting for what I wonder what Adolf Hitler thought. As the millions of people, innocent people, if any of us are innocent, that were taken to the ovens, that were heartlessly shot, that were tortured and killed, I wonder what he was thinking about the existence of God. And the problem is, if we don't think God exists as the sovereign Lord, we become our own God and answer only to our own conscience. That's frightening. Because the capacity that is within each one of us to do horrific things is in each one of us and is only held in check by the power of this eternal creating God who has chosen to make his residence within our lives. And the fourth thing, that leadership has left a God who can answer, who can act, who can perform to serve idols. Things that are worthless. How many of you would like to have a big old bar of gold? Just a big old bar of gold that you could take and cash in. You could do anything you want with it. Let's say that you had that opportunity to have that bar of gold and you're on a ship. And this ship is sailing to the place where you can buy anything in the whole wide world with that bar of gold. And all of a sudden the ship springs a leak. And it's not just a little leak. I mean, we're taking on gallons. We're taking on boatloads of water. And it begins to sink. And you have a choice to make. Do you want your bar of gold when you're swimming in the water? Or do you want a life jacket that'll keep you afloat? So I'm going to ask you a question. Which is more important on that circumstance, a bar of gold or a life jacket? Life jacket, obviously. You guys are smart people. A life jacket is the most important thing there. But when we leave the life jacket, when we leave our safety, our protection, who is Almighty God, their creator, our sustainer, the God who lives within us, to serve an idol that you can't eat, you can't really talk to, or he can't talk back to you. You can talk all you want to it, but he can't talk back to you. He can't put his arms around you and give you a hug when you're sad. He can't do anything that our Creator God does for each one of us every day of our lives. So if we have leadership that quits seeking God, if we have justice that is distorted, if we have leaders who deny the existence of God and become their own God, and we leave Almighty God for rocks and wood and lifeless things, we are not a nation that is unraveling. We have gone insane. Because it never works in all of history, and we have plenty of history to prove it. Now, I want to close very quickly with four things, because I really don't care that much about our government. Because they're telling us every moment what they are, who they are, and what they're about. I care about you. And as a minister of the gospel, I take this very, very seriously. What is it that will shipwreck our lives? Because government is the picture of the moral value of its people. What has happened to us that has allowed us to be in the position that we're in right now? And I want to share four things with you that'll answer that question. We quit seeking God. We begin to show favoritism for personal gain. We reject the authority of God over our lives. And we start chasing worthless idols. You know, this is a wonderful position for people of God to be in today, December the 31st, 2023. Because if we have fit this description of us, today is the day that we can leave it in the trash can. We can leave it behind because tomorrow is a new day. Tomorrow is a new year where we can seek the face of God. We can administer God's love impartially, and we accept the authority of God over all of our lives, and we start chasing God instead of idols. And that will change your life. That will change your country. That will change the world for the Lord Jesus Christ. And remember, our mission is greater than the flesh that houses our soul. Just like Jesus on the cross. Because that's who we are coming to be like. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, this morning, it is not easy to see ourselves in a mirror. It is not easy to see our country in this light. But without you, Father, you have already told us countless times through history, through your very words, that this is what happens when we do these things. So, Father, help us to be wise enough to seek your face. And as we do that, we trust, even though we can't see, we trust that your ways are perfect and right and good. And so we thank you. In the name of Jesus, amen.